the York Theatre Royal Podcast.
This is a special series of episodes live from the Edinburgh Fringe.
Well, I mean, we're live.
You're listening to this once we've got around to editing it all. In this episode, I'm joined by company Fat Rascal, who are behind such musicals as the feminist superhero story Wolverine and Unfortunate the Musical. Now, I gathered with the team outside their venue after seeing the show Unfortunate, which I must say was absolutely incredible. And yeah, we had a good chat, so apologies for the background noise. We're outside and it's by a bar, so you know what Edinburgh's like. Hope you enjoy. So we're now joined by the company Fat Rascal, so if you just want to introduce yourselves.
I'm Daniel Fox, I'm one of the co-writers of the show.
I'm Robin Grant, I'm one of the co-writers and I play Ursula.
Hello, I'm Ali Munro and I'm performer in Unfortunate.
I'm Stefan Ritzy and I'm playing King Triton.
Hello, I'm Jamie Mawson and I play Eric.
I'm Katie Wells and I play Ariel.
Amazing. So for someone that has never heard of Fat Rascal, what do you do?
So Fat Rascal specialise in comedy musicals. So we've been running now for about 3 years, and we basically want to kind of talk about social issues or like political theatre, but through a way which is really accessible by making fun musical theatre, which people you know can come and see who wouldn't expect to normally see, you know, a show with a message and feel familiar and feel at home and have a great time and leave feeling really empowered. So we do parodies, we do original stuff, and yeah, this is our sixth show, I think.
So how did it all start off?
So we met at East 15 Acting School, where I was studying with Ali, Katie was doing the MA course, and then Jamie had left a few years before, many years prior.
I stalked them, I've been knocking this out, tied them up and
So we started off, we did a show called Buzz, which was the musical history of the Vibrator, took it to the Fringe, where we met our producer Laura, who worked with Dan. And then Stefan's just come on board for the last two shows, Wolverine and Unfortunate. So, here we are.
So you've currently got two shows at the Fringe.
Yeah.
And not the time gap. So is it 10:30 you're on?
Yeah.
So you have to be ready at like 10 o'clock.
Yeah, so it's 9:15 now, just for reference.
Yeah.
How do you keep going?
Snacks.
A lot of cocaine.
Sandwiches. Saurine. It's very good for energy. We sort of go and have some snacks now and sort of have some downtime and then try and get hyped up for the next show.
Yeah. We've been drinking a lot less this year. Normally, I leave the Fringe like a full-blown alcoholic.
Yeah.
It's been pretty tame.
And we've been sleeping in till like 2 sometimes. Yeah. Okay, maybe that's just me, but still.
Well, I had like 4 shows. So I slept until 10 this morning. So Unfortunate is a parody on The Little Mermaid, I suppose, but from the point of view of Ursula, kind of, where did that idea come from?
We just sort of sat down and were trying to think of what we would love to write about. Started going through, we've done a parody before of Beauty and the Beast, where we kind of swapped over the genders to try and like see what message we could draw from that. And then me and Robin were sat in my flat drinking wine and thinking about who our favourite characters were. Thought, what badder bitch is there than Ursula?
She deserves more of a telling. Like, she's, you know, the film came out 30 years ago and she's still, like, massively popular and absolutely iconic. And, you know, they did it with Wicked, with The Witch of the West, and kind of whose story better to delve into than Ursula's? Like, there's so much to her. She's so fantastic.
Yeah. And for people, again, that haven't seen the show, what kind of messages, unfortunately,
So it's a lot of body positivity and all about loving yourself, that you can love who you want and, you know, what you look like or where you come from shouldn't affect that. And just generally we want people to feel like, you know, really happy in their own skin and really empowered and being the bad bitches that we were all born to be.
So what was the process of sort of, well, for any of your shows, what is the process of going, this is an idea and to where we are now, kind of?
So I'd say Robin and then also co-writer Dan obviously start with a draft, and then a few months before, so I think our first read-through for this, for example, was when we were doing the Brighton Fringe, so it was way back in May. We did a first read-through there and they like hear it with all of our voices out, get it out in the air, you know, see what like laughs, and then they go back, rewrite stuff, and I think the first read-through was about 1 hour and 45 minutes. We were like, oh god.
Is that first read-through, you've got the songs all done, is that kind of
most of them.
Yeah. Dan and our composer Tim kind of all went away to where he's from, which is Bradford-upon-Avon, for a few days. We kind of locked ourselves in his house and like bashed out the songs, and we knew we wanted to pastiche some of the originals, but also wanted to create a new musical sound, sort of like a bit Wicked, but also with like elements of like RuPaul's Drag Race kind of synth vibes. Like, she's so inspired by these amazing drag queens like Vine that we wanted to kind of represent that through the music of the show. So we made the songs, brought it to these guys, but it's so much easier to write for when we work together as a company, because sort of when you're like writing it, you hear it in people's voices. So because we're all working together as a team, and like the second we start reading it, like these guys are chipping in or being like, this could be funny or this could be funny, and kind of trying new things. There's so many collaborative voices that it kind of turns into a team effort kind of from that first read through, and then we're away.
When you have that, say a character, do you go, oh, I know who's going to play that one straight away, or is that a...
it's
always a bit of a thing with a multi-role, kind of like who can be on stage. But in terms of like main parts, especially with this one, I think it was really obvious. I mean, we watched The Little Mermaid and then we were like, well, obviously that's Katie. it was really apparent.
How could Ali be anything but a crab?
Ali is just so
tiny crab.
He's going to be the crusty old man.
I think he'd be the big, strong, beautiful merman.
Beautiful blue beard.
Exactly. So glittery.
How is getting that out of your beard every
time? I think I've lost most of my skin layers. I'm like, a radically peeled onion. But the blue does cover up my sores on my face. Oh. No, it's actually the decision for that.
Yeah, was exactly. Cover it up.
Yeah.
But some of the costumes and puppets you've got on this show are so insane. Can you talk a bit about how they came about?
We're working with some amazing designers. We've got Abby Clark and Corey Shipp, who are the main design team. Abby's on set, Corey's on costume. And then we work with a guy called Hugh Purves, who does our puppets. And also North Sky are the company that built our set. So it's like lots of kind of people collaborating all over the country, which is really cool. But we talked about like having sort of like a dirty Disney cabaret vibe. So sort of like The Little Mermaid if it was in like an underground drag bar, which is where like all the kind of textures come out with like the glitter and the leather and the velvet, like that kind of vibe to it. So from that they went away and made these amazing sketches, and we got the puppets in. But yeah, I'm really, really happy with how it looks.
Yeah, so they look almost like West End quality kind of puppets that you could see. You can tell I enjoyed the show. So you parody Little Mermaid quite a lot, including some of the songs. So instead of I want to be where the people are, it's I want to be where the dicks are. How's that reaction been? Have you enjoyed ruining people's childhoods?
Absolutely.
A lot of people have said they can never watch the film in the same way again.
That's very true.
I don't think you could.
I know, and I think that's great.
As soon as they hear, even as soon as they hear Ariel's new accent, they absolutely lose it, which is brilliant. Because it's the recognition of those old characters with our new twist. I think they really appreciate, since everyone's childhood just being split apart.
It's grown up a bit with them.
Exactly.
You can tell which ones in the audience are the ones that like know the original movie because they hear the first few chords of a like parody song, and you feel them tense.
Yeah.
Or like nudging
waiting,
each other.
Yeah, like, here it comes. What's it going to be?
Yeah.
It's going to be dicks. The chances are it's going to be dicks.
With Fat Rascal,
So how does this compare to kind of your other pieces of work, so like Wolverine and Buzz? Is it kind of similar vibe?
They're all vastly different, but then also very similar.
There's a similar style and message that runs through them.
But
we have like themes of the messages that we work with, of like social and like diversity stuff. And then I think our trademarks are kind of like, we aim for like as many laugh out loud lols as possible, and a million props and multi rolls.
Quick changes,
trademark.
You have a lot of quick changes. You orange, then not orange, orange. Crazy.
Yeah. You gotta get them in early so that you can practice. I'm wearing two pairs of trousers throughout the whole show, and then just whipping on blah blah blah.
But obviously our great characterization, but then at the end of the day, sometimes we're like,
sometimes
we need to multi-roll something here, and we're like, glasses and a wig,
do it.
You're now someone completely.
Or if you're
different.
Katie, you'll go, I want another wig. This one's not good enough. More wig.
Do you want to talk a bit about Wolverine as well? So again, I've not seen this one. I'm going to have to now.
Yeah.
But
come along.
Can you sort of talk about what's that one about?
Yeah, so it's a feminist superhero musical. Yeah. It's about a girl called Bryony Buckle who lives in High Wycombe. She works at a tax office. She's incredibly normal, has a very kind of dowdy life.
Yeah.
And then one day she goes to the doctors for a cough, ends up being injected with sea urchin hormones, gets struck by lightning on the way home, and becomes a superhero. So a really easy and coherent plot.
From the beginning.
The villain in it's called the Mansplainer, and it's all about this kind of very ordinary British girl who becomes this kind of badass, patriarchy-kicking superhero. So we're kind of parodying Marvel in a way, but also she really stands for her own kind of message, and she's, you know, really fun and great. It's like very British humour. Yeah, that's Wolverine.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
And so is doing those at the same time, does that get tricky then, like, making sure you, like, when you get into that, are you in the same space or a different space?
Different space. So which helps a bit, I think, when we can
differentiate
separate
what you're doing, because with the costume changes and everything, it must be.
Yeah. It's mental, yeah.
There's the odd fishy crossovers. It's not
you have to watch out.
We're calling this our Summer of Fish.
Was it sea urchin?
Picasso had his blue period.
Underwater season.
Dan and I are like so sick of writing fish puns.
But they just keep coming.
They really do.
Swimming out of us.
So when you...
That was awful. Sorry.
The silence that followed.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, right, I'll edit that. So with the music, you say you work with a composer, and then is that recorded live? Because so you don't have a band in the space with you.
Did you not see? Very small. They make backing tracks for us.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, hopefully at some point soon we'll have a band, but like when you're doing a musical on the fringe, it's like obviously so much more expensive. So we use tracks. It's quite a different sound, Wolverine, to Unfortunate. Like, it's more like full kind of classical music theatre, whereas Wolverine's got more like an 80s-y synthy vibe.
I imagine you get quite a lot of fans that come back to the shows. I'm guessing they kind of ask for things like cast albums. Is that something you've done before?
We did a cast album for our show called Tom and Body Save the World, which was a zombie folk musical. That's on Spotify. We are recording an Unfortunate cast recording hopefully this autumn, so watch this space. But we want to do it properly, and it's quite like an expensive thing to do. People don't really think about it, but like, you know, if you've got to go to a studio and all that, you kind of, when you're a small fringe company, you've got to make sure it's going to make a good return. But that is in the works.
That's quite cool that people ask for things like that.
Very flattering.
And the fact that people come back to see the show,
some
more
people
than
have
once,
come like five or six times. Incredible.
I feel like a lot of musical theatre fans, they go hard.
Which is bad.
Yeah, no, I can see that.
See Blood Brothers 23 times.
Yeah. Blameless is closing. beyond the Fringe, what's kind of the future of Unfortunate?
So hopefully we're going to be taking the show out on tour. We've got a few dates this autumn, which we're keeping under wraps for now, but watch this space. And then I'm sure it's going to be going on next year. So fingers crossed going all over the UK.
Come and check us out.
Yeah.
Would you be doing two shows at the Fringe again next year?
We're not sure about the Fringe next year. It kind of depends how this year pans out, but we always say that, and then here we are again.
Can't get away from it.
Well, you seem to be having sell-out audiences, so kind of there's a demand for you here, definitely.
It feels like a weird pilgrimage as well. Like every year, it's like, what are we going to do? Oh yeah, August, the Fringe. Yeah. Like, we come back, and it's like the only other city that I know my way around. Edinburgh, I love it.
Big love for Edinburgh.
Sorry.
It's okay.
What have audience reactions been like? Have you experienced at Edinburgh so far? And how has it changed from when you first started?
It's crazy that with this show in particular, before it starts, and we never really had that before, because they know the character already and they know what's coming, we get a big whoop. Before it even starts, so the kind of the audiences are
you can feel the pressures
on
that are building in the room.
Is there a pressure to keep having you back with as good a show or better?
Thank you so much for listening to this
episode. It's always scary.
If you're a first-time listener, then we've got plenty of other episodes.
When you're rehearsing
it,
and then you just like stop finding
it. Please give us a nice review.
So then we're in the room and like just before we start, we're like, oh my god. Is it funny?
Is it funny?
So like those first few previews, like until people start laughing, it's scary. Terrifying. Yeah. Really scary. Really scary. But I mean, this is our, what, fourth Fringe as a company? Mm-hmm. And like, we started in a tiny 50-seat theatre in Greenside over at Infirmary Street, and now we're here selling out a 200-seater. So we're really, really proud of how far we've come, and we're just really glad that the audience is still, you know, coming back with and us. Supporting us. And, yeah, there's pressure, but also it's super exciting. Yeah, we can't wait to see kind of where it's going.
And you want to make new stuff for them if they're so interested in the stuff we've already made. We're like, come on, let's make another even better one.
What would you parody, and if you could parody anything, whether it's Disney, whatever, what do you think you'd like to try?
Toy Story.
No, you're going to ruin Toy Story. I quite want to do a horror. I would love to do a horror.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is a different genre.
Black Sheep.
There's a few films that like you can't get the rights to that we'd love to turn into musicals. Princess Bride. Love to do that.
Yeah, I'd love to see that.
But yeah, I mean, nothing
Come
is safe.
With me.
Look anywhere.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, but on that note, I think we'll wrap it up there. But thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Do you want to know anything about my York connections?
And you have York connections?
Yeah, I've lived there for years and worked
for Fitzroyal. That's cool. So I had no idea about that.
I don't know whether that's appealing or not. I assumed you. That's why you wanted us.
It's just kind of, I thought you were a really interesting company.
Cool. Thank you.
Do you want to just plug your social media as well, just so people can follow you?
So we are at We Are Fat Rascal, and it's hashtag Wolverine Musical and hashtag Unfortunate Musical.
Perfect. Yeah, thank you so much again for coming on the show. But yeah, it was a fantastic show, and if people need to catch you out on tour later in the year. But yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Fat Rascal for having a chat to me after their show. Like, they were extremely busy doing two shows at the Edinburgh Fringe, and honestly, I've no idea how they did it. Now, I did manage to catch Wolverine, and I absolutely loved it. It was just as good as Unfortunate, and if you can catch any of their shows out on tour this year or next year, please do. So they are touring Unfortunate to the Leicester Curve in October, Theatre Delhi Sheffield in December, and also the Birmingham Hippodrome in December. Now, I can't recommend it enough. But if you're a first-time listener, why not go back and listen to our other episodes? We've got quite a few in the catalogue now. But thank you so much for listening. And if you can give us a lovely review, that helps as well. Thanks so much. Bye.